2002, Saturday Night Live head writer and performer Tina Fey pitched a sitcom to NBC about the behind-the-scenes antics of a cable news network.
NBC president Kevin Reilly rejected it, but encouraged Fey to write something closer to her own experience.
From the ashes, an early version of 30 Rock was born, following the story of a put-upon and unlucky-in-love showrunner of an SNL-style variety series.
Ordered to series and timed to coincide with Faye's departure from SNL, 30 Rock premiered on October 11, 2006.
After 139 episodes, 30 Rock is no doubt a sitcom Hall of Famer. It's razor-sharp, blazingly funny, and packs more jokes into any single minute of television than just about any show ever.
Tina Fey's tri-pronged role as creator, showrunner, and star arguably paved the way for later female-led comedies like Girls, The Mindy Project, and Insecure. Today, we're putting on our Page uniforms and shotgunning some pizza because we're talking 30 Rock and its best episode ever.
Worst episode ever.
Oh, blur!
Oh, I'm in the game, yo.
Yeah, bitch! Magnets!
Good news, everyone!
We have to go back!
So say we all!
Hi. That's our new thing.
Yes.
Welcome to Best Episode Ever. I'm Brett.
I'm Carmen.
And we're joined by Haley Mancini.
Hello. How's it going?
For those of you who I know you know Haley Mancini because you've probably seen her on Cracked a lot. In addition to being a Powerpuff Girls writer.
That's true.
And
it's
just
true.
An incredible impressionist.
Hey, thank you.
I'm kind of obsessed
thank
with
you.
It right now.
We're not going to put this on the podcast because we didn't tape it, but she did a runner of Simpsons characters, and it was incredible. It was like being in a room with Hank Azaria.
You guys need to have me back for a Simpsons episode.
It's already booked.
Because I was already talking, guys, this is full disclosure. I was talking to them about this before. I was like, I want to come back for a Simpsons episode. I wrote a spec once.
And we need to hear it now.
Yeah.
That's really what has
I actually
happen.
Don't hate the spec, to be honest. I don't. I hate a lot of things I wrote, but maybe that one was just like my homage.
You write the spec because you love the show, so of course you're going to put that good work into it because you're like, I love this show. And, you know, I'm excited to see how much you love that show.
The easiest way to get onto this podcast is to have a spec of a show.
Get
because
it ready,
a few weeks ago, we had Teresa Lee on, and she brought us her Adventure Time spec, and we read it.
Oh,
and
so
it was great.
People are going to be like, I have spec.
But
can I be on your podcast?
I'm actually going to the Adventure Time party tonight.
Whoa.
There's a finishing because
mathematic.
Yeah. So that'll be because they're all done.
Oh, they're all done.
Yeah. So I know.
Well, we're not talking about that stupid cartoon stuff today.
Yeah,
we're talking about
it.
Serious. 30 Rock, the cartoon for the live action cartoon
live
for
action.
Adults.
It's so true. Every time I was like reviewing some of the episodes before coming in, and I was like, this is so conducive to this could have been done animated so easily. Like the
100%. It's a live action cartoon.
Yeah, 100% is. It's like, it's so funny. And then now once you work here, like in the industry, you're like, oh, what's the budget on that cutaway? that's what I always think about. I'm like, but that 3-second cutaway cost them a lot of money.
And they also like really, like they had like people on ropes a ton. Like they had like all of these stunts for this live show where I was like,
oh, that's right.
And they kept talking about slashing the budget. And I was like, I don't think they're slashing the budget at all.
I don't think they're doing.
Yeah, those live shows must have been really expensive because they probably had to rebuild the sets entirely in actual 30 Rock to do them. And how do you feel about, before we get into it, how do you feel about the live episodes? I think there's two of them and people are torn on them.
I liked them.
I thought it was like a nice tribute to live TV.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Because that's where, you know, Tina started.
Yeah, I didn't think it was trying to be anything else.
I like them too.
Yeah.
I watched them yesterday and I felt that it was a little bit like being at like a college sketch show or something like that. Because you're watching
true.
And you're like, I like all these characters. I hope they break.
Yeah, totally.
Which ends up being the plot of the episode. Tracy wants to break. That's all the only thing he wants
so
to
good.
Do.
His version
such
of
great...
breaking is so
it's
fun.
So good.
He goes, uh-oh, I'm doing something called breaking.
It's such a great... It's the perfect plot for that episode, too. Like, they, like, knew exactly what people were waiting for.
Yeah.
And then, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a... They do such a good job of that.
The first episode is really great. The second one is really interesting because they start playing around with it so much more, and they have like more commercials and weird stuff. They have the Donald Glover bit. They have the weird racist John Hamm.
Yeah, the like the racist minstrel thing.
That was not great. That was like a bit of a nadir for the show. Yeah, there was like a racist honeymooners thing going on.
Yeah, the honeymooners. Like,
Or sexist honeymooners, right? Because they'd be like, I'm gonna shoot you in the face. Like,
yeah, that's
just like, oh, one of these days. And I was like, but the thing I think that was funny is they were like making a commentary on like what TV.
On those old shows, you know, sort of thing.
And how like kind of messed up. Like he literally, the honeymooners thing was being one of these days, straight to the moon, which is just being like, I'm gonna hit you so hard that you're gonna go into outer space.
I hit my wife, who's half my size, like into outer space. Yeah,
But if you talk to your grandparents, they're like, I don't like these new comedies nowadays.
They're all
Arrested Development and stuff. Why can't it be wholesome? Like All in the Family or Honeymooners.
Where he just threatened to abuse his wife.
Yeah. So I think that was like a little bit like.
That's a nice tribute. There's
definitely Tina Fey and like all of the writers in the room being like, hey guys, but like remember old TV.
Yeah, remember. Yeah.
So first question is, I guess, what does 30 Rock mean to you? Because clearly you love it. And we don't bring people on unless they really have feelings about the show.
I love 30 Rock. It's the way it's because live action cartoon, I think. Like that's what appeals, because I write for animation and I have always been kind of a think, like the way I think comedically is in that way. Like I always wrote the sketches that were like, well, you know, you directed. I always wrote these sketches with like high production value that I was like, God damn it, why did I do this to myself? But like that's, so 30 Rock encompasses that completely with really great characters, nice, simple, really clean, simple A, B, and C plot lines, too. I always think it's such a good show to revisit for writing when you're in writer's block. Yeah. Like, I always revisit 30 Rock and Seinfeld for, like, good writing because it's, like, good, clean writing, easy, too.
Yeah.
If you're stuck, it's, like, an easy thing to watch and, like, get yourself back on track.
Yeah.
And, I love it. I think when they got into, there was a couple seasons in there, I think, where they got, like, too many jokes per second, which I feel like
it was a frenzy,
which is good, which is great for things like Airplane, right? Like you can have like 5 jokes a shot because it's a movie, you can rewatch it a million times, and hey, you can revisit 30 Rock as much as possible, but there's some time in there where you're like, I felt like a little fatigued like during one or two seasons watching, where I was like same with Arrested Development sometimes, where I'd be like, I feel a little like, I hate to say this as a comedian, but sometimes I feel a little fatigued watching this because I gotta focus on every little thing to make sure I'm catching all the jokes,
because every detail matters and it'll come back as a joke, which is amazing and brilliant.
It's super brilliant, but sometimes it's like, so I like the fifth season a lot because I think it's a solid balance of just really good comedy, really good writing, and not hyperextending.
So before we come to our decision of the best episode ever of 30 Rock, let's talk about some mini awards that we make up.
Yeah, and here's our awards song.
Do, do, do.
Oh, wow. Oh.
I know.
Oh.
It's a little classy.
Hey.
Yeah.
Wow.
So first, I want to talk about this. This is my favorite category. Best fake in-universe movie or TV show or just property.
Besides the thing I'm going to talk about, I really love Gold Case and and Hunchbacks. So Gold Case is like, Gold Case is something I feel like I was like, man, if I hadn't seen that, I might have accidentally... And then it's something. It's basically just Deal or No Deal, but one of the cases filled with gold. And because it's so heavy, the model's like tipping over. And so it always gives it away.
They're like, her. It's her. And she's just like, oh.
I love it. And then Hunchbacks is like the way vampires are sexy, is trying to make Hunchbacks sexy. And like the Hunchback of Notre Dame and that sort of thing.
Oh, gosh.
He was like John Silverman.
That's amazing.
Was the actor in it or something.
Yeah, they have amazing people come in to do it. It's great.
So those are my two.
That's pretty great. That's a you're right. I forgot about Gold Case, but I do remember watching it and just dying. Okay, so I have two. Mine is, the first one is, I want to see Kidnapped by Danger, Jenna's movie about Avery's. Oh, yes.
So good.
I need to see this. Like, they made it, and it was like a thing.
Is that the one, I'm sorry if I'm getting confused, internet people. I'm sorry. Is that the one that has the song that Weird Al parodies, or like the reverse parody of?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. God,
that's, that episode is so good. Yeah.
So good.
But the movie itself, I was like, I want to know this story, because they essentially kind of revealed Jack's laundry. And I was like, oh, this would be so fun to watch. And then my other thing is, I really want to see, I think it's Hyperbole. Homonyms. Sorry.
Homonyms. Meet and Mate. That's still wrong.
I loved it because they also showed it everywhere. Like, it was like Homonyms with Celebrities, original Homonyms, Homonyms with Celebrities, Homonyms, like all over the world.
That's so good. That one made me laugh so hard. Is it Meat or Meat?
The one you eat. Nope, it's the other one. And I don't know why. Gosh. I could probably watch it's an like entire show.
It's like Number Wang. Have you seen
the Mitchell? Yes, I love Number Wang.
They just shout numbers, and it's great.
Number Wang, yeah. Mm.
Seven? Mm-hmm. Four? Yes. Yes. Negative two? No.
Zero? That's Number Wang.
My favorite is Leap Day William. I think that's one of the best episodes of the show.
I forgot about that one.
So it's leap day, and all of a sudden Liz shows up to work, and it's February 29th, and they're like, oh yeah, it's leap day. It has all the crazy rules of St. Patrick's Day, Halloween, and like four other, just like, oh, you get pinched and you have to wear blue, and you, it's like all just these crazy holiday office rules. And intercut is NBC is showing all day the Jim Carrey and Andy McDowell movie, Leap Day William, which is like a cross between Groundhog's Day and Liar Liar, where Jim Carrey is like slowly morphing, and like the Santa Claus, where Jim Carrey is slowly morphing into Leap Day William, the like the sort of like leprechaun Santa Claus of this made up holiday.
So much.
Leap Day William.
And they keep cutting back to it, and they have all the like weird cable TV chyrons of like, you're watching this on the USA Network, and like,
and like, have all of the things.
It is so well made, and it's so like, oh, this is every Jim Carrey and Tim Allen movie from the 90s.
But they actually got Jim Carrey.
And and Andy McDowell too. And it's, it's so
my
great.
God, I love it. So I forgot about that one. I might have chosen that otherwise. That's also, that's a funny thing. Like, again, it's like, that's not that far. It's just an aged up version of like, we could easily do a Leap Day episode on Powerpuff.
Yeah.
That's like, Leap Day is the craziest holiday of them all. And then you just age it up. It's like, I think about that more and more, like, because I was always doing like live action before I did Powerpuff. And then I was like, oh, this is really funny, because all it is just like being like, you can't use cuss words. And you can't, like, no sex references. And then like, NBC just, you just turn it up on that. It's so funny.
Oh,
it's like,
great.
It's not that different. Yeah.
NBC, you can't cuss that much.
Still that's true, network, they can't. But they can say sexy things.
They can say sexy things.
Yeah, can
and
say
they
sexy.
Do we say, can't sexy say sexy things.
Yeah.
The sexiest show. The next category is sexiest.
What's the award song for that?
I don't have one.
We don't have one.
I do have two sound effects for today.
Oh, okay, great. This let's go for the
this is by far the sexiest one, and it's not very.
All right.
Blurg!
Oh, yeah, that's sexy. Should we move on to the next award, which in a way is the antithesis of sexy?
Yes.
Let's look at the best Liz breakup. Liz has been through a lot of relationships and had some pretty epic breakups, so we're going through
it.
Yeah, okay, so she kind of, like, her and Carol have, like, this long fall apart sort of thing, and so it was hard for me to be, like, go focus on the breakup, so I was kind of, like, just looking at the relationship as a whole, so it's breaking the whole thing. But
no, not at all.
I just love So I kind of like looked at the boyfriend. I did like kind of the Seinfeld thing, like favorite boyfriend.
Yeah.
And Carol Barnett is my favorite because, or Barnett or whatever, because he's so emotional. And then they're like super similar. Like there's just so many, like there are 5 million red flags for each other throughout this relationship as it goes forward. That's like my favorite. Everything about it is my favorite thing. And maybe it's because I'm like, I get into those types of relationships all the time. And they like hit it too hard, perfectly. I love when they get on the fight on the plane and stuff.
Oh, that's a great episode. I forgot the name of that episode. It's so good. It's like, kind of like a bottle
episode.
Oh, it's
double-edged sword is what it's called. Oh, that's right. Because there's a double-edged, it's like double-edged sword for Tracy too. Like there's like two, the A and the B are both like, they both use the titular line. And,
that episode's great. They're like they're trapped on an airplane and Liz leads like a workers' revolution of all the passengers. And one of my favorite running gags is that the only movie showing on the plane in repeat is the Guardians Owls of Ga'Hoole. And they keep cutting back to this horribly CG, like, but Momo, we must go back to Ga'Hoole.
it's so good. Stupid. I love that they also just like unreasonably rip on pilots. Where he's like, do you know anybody else who can press start on the plane, go to autopilot and then press land? I don't think so.
I get so unbelievably angry at airports for that reason.
Me too. And it's like such a, it's just like, if you rewatch that episode, you're like, they're just being brutal to pilots.
Brutal. It's so,
so funny.
That's a good one.
Carmen, I really like yours a lot.
Go for it.
Mine is the bubble. Which is the breakup and sort of full relationship, we'll say. I think you have to consider the relationship
it's
if you're going
to
look at it.
Exactly. That's where I got stuck.
Dr. Drew Baird.
Portrayed by John Hamm.
By John Hamm. And he was super attractive. And then it like revealed that he was so attractive that the world was just simple and easy for
him. Yes, too easy. I love it. It's very relevant for this day and age, too.
And he, like, couldn't, you realize, like, he's a doctor, but, like, he couldn't even give the high five.
It was so good. That one's so good.
And then he, like, was like, she's like, okay, I'll treat you like you're not. And she just beats him at tennis, and he's like, no.
Oh, yeah, he gets so
he's like,
no,
he's like, I'm amazing at tennis.
I love it so much. That's also a great Seinfeld kind of callback, too, because there's the Seinfeld, the guy that thinks he's good, and then Seinfeld beats him and gets really upset. That's sort of like, I love like playing beautiful entitled man. It's so good.
And it's a great send off too, because he's like, at the end of the episode, he's like, all right, goodbye. I just bought this motorcycle. Oh, and then he just drives it off and gets into a car
crash. Into a car accident. Oh my God.
Because she was about to go back to him. She's like, she's like, no, I think we can give this a shot. And I really want this to, or something. Or she's like, I'm sorry. And he's like, I'm sorry. He's like, I'm sorry. I overreacted. Do you want to take a ride on my new motorcycle? And she's like, no.
I don't think
so. You can't do it. And he did it. And then he ran into traffic.
It's so good.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so I love the bubble.
Inept. He's so good at playing inept.
Because all I'd ever, I think before then, we'd only really seen him in Mad Men.
And Providence.
And dramatic things.
Providence. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Well, so we'd seen him as, like, serious hunk. Yeah. And then in this, he was hunk.
Just an idiot.
It was a joy. It was a joy.
My best Liz breakup is I Do Do, which is season, I believe, 4 finale. I liked it a lot because Liz finally breaks up with Wesley Snipes, which I think I thought that relationship was so funny. That there's like this sort of like, not that I particularly lived this, but like this sort of desperation of being like, I've never really been in a relationship for a long time. And like, this person keeps showing up in my life.
Yes.
Like maybe I'm destined to be with this person.
Oh my
gosh,
that happens
with the Michael Sheen character. And it's so good. And then they just hate each other.
They hate each
so
other
much.
So much. I love it. I love like they just feel the ire every time they're around each other.
Yeah, and it's different than the Dennis Duffy thing where they hate each other, but it's weird.
There's
different.
Like weird sexual tension.
So she finally breaks up with Wesley Snipes, which is great name for a character.
Yes.
And then she also meets Carol in that episode. It's very hopeful, even though I'm like, oh, Matt Damon's not going to join the cast of 30 Rock for the next 3 years. Yeah, no, but he actually ends up being on 30 Rock
for a while.
Really, he shows up a lot.
He's even in, she's with Carol during one of the live episodes, and he does like a 45-second, like, hey, it's me, Matt Damon, live on.
Yeah, he just like jumps back in.
Yeah.
Isn't he in? Yeah, he's in Thor too, right? He jumped for like a 45-second.
He is in Thor, and he's covered in a lot of makeup, and it's weird. And I'm like, get out of here.
Wasn't it that Matt Damon's just like, I'm gonna be in everything?
He's like, I'm gonna be silly now.
Yeah, well, I gotta be silly.
Thor was probably shot like over a year ago, and I feel like as we get to know Matt Damon more, he's a little creepy, like. What he did with on the Project Greenlight thing, and then there's some thing with him like covering up a Weinstein thingaroo.
Did he really?
I don't know.
Yeah, but I think Matt Damon needs to take a break.
Well,
yeah, he could probably chill out for a little bit.
Well, he was in this.
but this was years ago.
And they wrote him as the pilot, which I thought was like a smart move in the sense of like not expecting a big star to have to be there all the time.
Our next award. And our next sound effect is brought to you by the Cabletown Company. And it is yummiest episode. It's the Carmen favorite.
Oh, my favorite. I literally can find the yummiest episode in most of the series that we've chosen. So I look for food a lot.
Okay.
So in 30 Rock, and don't get me wrong, this I feel like very much calls for it in 30 Rock. There's a lot of food. And they do epic foods, magic foods, real foods, like cartoony foods. And so for me, I was like, which one of these crazy foods would I want to eat the most? And for me, I would definitely say it looks like the Lover's Delight dessert that Jack has on the St. Valentine's Day episode.
And he eats it by himself.
And he eats it by himself, but it's like $1,000 and has like the most expensive chocolate and the most expensive vanilla. And it's like dipped in like rum. And then there's like gold leaf on top. It's just, it looks very epic and pretty magical.
That was good.
I agree. Yummiest.
Yummiest.
The yummiest thing for me is in the episode College. Where Liz shotguns a pizza.
Shotgunning a pizza.
Oh, yeah.
That's just great.
She's like, you want to watch me shotgun this?
Yeah, and they think she's holding a beer, and they're like, oh, no, she means the pizza.
Yes.
She just goes fold, and starts.
I think I did something similar to that once. I'm pretty sure I folded over a pizza and mowed a good amount of it.
I'm impressed.
Well, you have to in New York. You have to fold the pizza.
Like
a full pie.
Like a full pizza.
Like what she did.
I did what she did. I was in college. I definitely I ordered myself pizzas multiple times while drunk. Without asking other people around me if they wanted anything like that. I don't know. I didn't make a whole lot of sense in college.
I love it. I want to know college you. That's great.
Oh, I was pretty high. I was generally speaking kind of like followed by a cloud at all times.
Well,
I think this show made it okay for people of our generation to just eat as much as we want and not feel bad about
Thank
it.
Thank God.
I feel like that was definitely a character trait of Liz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that she always loved eating.
I like that they explained it. Do you remember they explained it away in a, like, at the end of the series or whatever? When they were, like, she did, like, some interview or something where they were like, how does Liz Lemon eat all of that and then not get big? And she was like, it evaporates. Like, she has a circular digestive system or something. I thought it was like some sort of I have to look it up because it was just like some sort of thing where it was like.
This is an interview with Tina Fey.
Yeah, it was like an interview with Tina Fey about how she like eats so much and then it it goes like right through her. Like she has a spastic or something like that.
Like she just like digests it really fast.
Yeah, and it just goes straight through or something like that. I get it. Like I'm butchering it, but she does answer the question. I had to know. Yeah. I had to know.
Oh, I had to know.
I was like, she eats a lot.
Yeah.
Why is Kenneth immortal? I don't know.
That's
it just
true.
Is.
That's
I love,
true.
I do love
that. Yeah, well, he doesn't have a mirror image. Right? Yeah. Like, he can't see himself in the mirror. He's just a white mist.
Our last award of the day is the best song. There's many musical numbers and stuff in there. Haley, do you have like a song?
Werewolf for Mitzvah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Werewolf for Mitzvah. Spooky, scary. Boys becoming men. Men becoming wolf.
Every Halloween, mitzvah, I crank that. It's like my new Halloween song. It's so good. It's such a stupid song. I love it.
Werewolf for Mitzvah.
Spooky, scary. Boys becoming men.
Men becoming wolves.
I didn't totally get into the show when it started, and I was still bummed out about Studio 60. Like, I wanted Studio 60 to go right, so when 30 Rock came out, I was like, no, you and your stupid, not Aaron Sorkin show at the same premise.
And half of 60.
But Werewolf Bar Mitzvah was like one of the first things that I can remember. I was like, this show is brilliant.
Oh my gosh, it's so good. I love it so much. It's so stupid.
It's so good. And yelling. Yep.
This is not a song written by a group of comedy people. I love Midnight Train to Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so nice where Kenneth is going to leave New York. And
11:45.
I missed it. I missed that midnight train to Georgia.
You missed that midnight train.
It's 11:45, and I was misinformed about the time.
Yeah, it was just such a good moment. It's a great song, and I was agree. A great, great musical number.
It was a good musical number.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then for me, okay, I'm with you. Werewolf Bar Mitzvah was one of my tops. And then also, I think Muffin Top.
Oh my gosh,
Jenna's iconic Muffin Top.
Yeah.
Muffin Top is all that whole grain low fat. I know you want a piece of that, but I just want to dance.
Yes.
You know you want this Muffin Top.
You know you want this Muffin Top. Yes.
And what I thought was really funny about it is as you're watching the season, you realize that becomes her emotional song. So like even when she is sad, there's like a sad version of... it goes like in the background, she'll be like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. And then there's like a song that's like,
that's so good.
So I love that became her like emotional staple song, like as a character. And
it's like her theme every time. Yeah.
And then the words are great.
Yeah.
Whole grain, low fat. I know you want a piece of that, but I just want to dance.
So good. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I also want to shout out the Rural Juror song.
I was going to say Rural Juror. That leads me to,
I'll always be glad I met you, Rural Juror. These were the best days of my
The ending of the series is sort of like a montage of kind of where everyone is heading and stuff as, you know, everyone kind of moves on to a different phase of their lives with this gibberish song, Rural Juror, happening. And the last moment of the song, Jenna sings, these were the best days of my flirm. And I was like, this is so funny. And I'm so like touched emotion. Like I'm going to cry right now. And I can't tell if it's from laughing or crying.
From crying.
I thought it was so beautiful way to end the series.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Really? Yeah. It was fantastic. Rural Juror. Read that all the time.
Yeah.
I love it. All right. I guess we've come to the final award of all.
Be incepted. It's time to figure out the best episode ever. We each have some nominees. Haley, how do you feel about this?
I just chose one. I don't know. Is that when did I do this wrong?
Yeah, no.
Okay, no,
you
choose it,
and then you say like why you think it's like the best based off of all the things.
My favorite episode is Queen of Jordan. which I found out later, actually, I saw that episode and I was like dying all the way through and I was like, this has got to be my favorite episode and none of the other ones really topped it for me. And then I later realized that I was like, so Tracy Wigfield wrote it. Tracy's a friend of mine from college.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really funny that she wrote that. And then we also, like, we get dinner every once in a while. Like, she's very busy showrunning her show. But we get dinner every once in a while. And it's so funny because we both are reality show hoes. Like, we love watching that stuff so much. And so it's that, of course, that's why it appealed to me. And I could just totally see Tracy like being like, can I do that episode? And it, the episode, just everything about it is so funny, and it's such a perfect play on,
if you watch reality TV, which I'm not even a big reality TV person. I've definitely watched a lot in my time, and I really don't keep up with it other than one show. But if you watch reality TV, if you're a fan of it, or like, are you used to its tropes at all, Queen of Jordan hits
all of them. It hits all of them. Also, I don't know if Tracy feels that she's a reality show ho. I just made that up right now. But I know that she watches like Real Housewives and stuff a bunch. Yeah. So, and I do as well. Yeah. So then I branded it with this term after the fact. Yes, I don't know if she continues to watch a lot of that. It was a discussion we had a long time ago. But yes, they hit all the tropes, and then Dooley, there's actual dramatic stuff happening with what's his face?
With Frank and Susan Sarandon's
character. Like, oh, yeah. Where there's like a legitimate like romance, and it explains why he's emotionally stunted and like that this was like a really bad thing for him, and it's like, of course, a funny workout and all that, but like there's actual real
drama
that explains an important part of his character going on in the background, and I just thought that was genius.
Yeah. And then I loved the, like, drama that was clearly, that forced drama that's very, like, reality show. I felt Tina Fey.
You admit it. You said that about, no, I didn't. And they never say what anybody said.
You prostitution whore.
Yeah. It's so good. And LaFawn is, like, a big character in it. And her singles dropping is 15 seconds long.
I love that line. It's like, Jack. My single is dropping. It's dropping.
Yeah. It's so good. So I love everything. And I love like the random lady. What's her name? Like Regina or Rhonda or something, like the blonde lady.
The one who's part of the entourage.
Yeah, she's just part of it, and she has like a stripper studio and is just like hanging out on a pole for part of it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they're like she just exists in that world and is part of it. And there's Portia, and Portia reads the news. And I don't know. I just love everything about it.
Yeah.
So that's my vote. I like the way it broke structure and was subversive by explaining a very important character trait of like Frank was never really explained before. Like, he just kind of existed as a trope of this writer.
Yeah.
And then knowing something about him on a deeper level was like, oh, crap, under this, like, embellished thing.
Yeah.
It was very cool. So that's mine.
That's great.
I am going to have to respectfully disagree.
Okay.
As brilliant as Queen of Jordan is as an episode, by its nature, it cannot be the best episode because it is not an episode of 30 Rock. It's an episode of Queen of Jordan.
Oh, no.
It's a separate show.
Take it to 4chan, dude.
Well, then what's yours, dude?
I have a few. I think it's The Tuxedo Begins.
Oh, that one's a good one.
We just have peak Liz when she turns into the Joker. It's kind of a weird episode. Maybe I'm like shitting on my own point by picking out kind of another weird episode that is like an homage to The Dark Knight for some reason.
You're like, but this is different because it's something I watch a lot.
This is my idea.
Uh-huh. Uh-oh.
I think it's peak Liz. I've felt that way before. I think it's great. If you lived in New York when like you realize like that all the crazy people get to behave how they want, and none of us normal people get to behave how they want. And she, I just love like when she brings her gym bag into the movie theater and eats disgusting stuff on the subway, and she just breaks the system of the social contract of New York. I think that's great. I like Jack, you know, this powerful guy being afraid to leave his office, and I think it's a great episode.
That is great because he's very rarely vulnerable. So that's a great turning him on his head. Yeah.
I think that's good. I also like the episode 100 a lot because this is the episode where it's their 100th episode. They're potentially about to get canceled by Cable Town. And meanwhile, one of the first scenes, there's a gas leak in the studio.
Yes.
And Michael Keaton is the janitor. And he's it's my last day on the job. I just want to get back home to my wife and kids. And there's just that cop movie foreshadow of the person on the last day of the job. And then he just gets randomly shot and killed at the end of the episode.
Yes. That is so great. And anything with Keaton, too, being like, anything with Keaton being a lowbrow character is one of my favorite things. He does that so freaking well.
Yeah. Spider-Man Homecoming, great.
I actually haven't seen that one yet.
He is the villain, but he's like sort of like a blue-collar villain. He's like really good. You're kind of like, I'm rooting for him a little bit.
He's so good. Quick side note on that. Have you seen, did you ever see the original Much Ado About Nothing with him?
In a long time, but yes.
Yeah, Dogberry?
He's the jailer.
Yeah, Dogberry.
Yeah, Dogberry, yeah. And he's...
That's a good movie.
I saw it when I was really, like, little, and we just started reading Shakespeare, like, the little bits in school, and I was like, what? I don't understand any. And he was like, that was the first time where I was like, his performance made me understand what was happening, and I was like, oh, that's what like good acting does. Like, it was so good. It was like still one of my favorite things he's ever done.
That's a good call. That's a good movie.
I'm gonna rewatch that.
Rewatch is so good.
Lots of good people in that movie. Denzel's in that movie. Keanu is not great as Keanu, Don John, the villain.
Emma Thompson's great though.
It's a bit of a thankless role.
Keanu definitely just Keanu's around for a while.
This just tells me so much. I forget that he's in it every time I hear about the movie. And there have been several times when I've talked about this movie.
Me too, actually.
Every time I'm like,
you said that.
Oh, right, Keanu's in it. There
you go. What if he's just in every movie and we never knew this he's just there?
They're like, do you remember when Keanu played that role? And I'm like, oh, right, he was in that movie.
He was the president. He was Dave in movie Dave.
This is excellent. This is a 30 Rock joke right now because, like, that's something that would happen in 30 Rock. And then you'd see, like, four flashbacks to different movies of Keanu Reeves just, like, reading a newspaper in the background.
He was in The Owls of Gahool.
He was an owl.
He's the lead owl. You never noticed he was the lead owl?
Oh, I love it. He was great. He was great in 100. He was not Keanu. Keanu was great in 100. Well, okay. I guess getting back to best episode ever, I'm going to have to say my vote is Sandwich Day.
Yes.
Because I think it is very, it touches on, it's like to me an embodiment of kind of what 30 Rock.
That's the one with Lutz?
Was, yes.
Where he gets to choose.
No. Okay. So pretty much they have these epic sandwiches that they can only find by contacting. I think the guys on the crew bring up these sandwiches and the Teamsters, they never tell anybody where they get these sandwiches from. And and everybody loves these sandwiches. They're dreamy. And so they leave a sandwich on Tina's desk. And then as she's dealing with problems with the show, they end up eating her sandwich and she like freaks out. And so they have to go down to the Teamsters and try to convince them to get her a new sandwich. Meanwhile, you know, she's trying to decide if she can, she's like trying to fix the show and like deciding if she can really be with Carol.
Right.
And so then they...
Oh, no, no, it's Floyd.
Oh, sorry, Floyd.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't know if I can be with Floyd. And then... and then she ends up just going, doing like that classic, like run to the airport. But she has her sandwich, and the woman's like, "You can't bring food past this point." Where I think the iconic line, which to me just like translates this entire what 30 Rock for Tina is, which is she goes, "I can have it all," and starts hoovering.
She eats that sandwich like, I mean,
on screen, it's amazing.
So good. That might be the thing that I'm imagining. That might have been the same. I think I might have placed it in her apartment, but it might be that.
That, yeah. That's
it might
the
be
sandwich.
That, 'cause that sandwich looks real good.
That's the sandwich. And it's like dip. There's a dipping
sauce.
There's
the dip. That's it. That's what it is. It's the... Oh, the dip.
That dip.
God damn that dip.
I know.
Sandwiches with a dip. I mean, that's a real elevation.
French, Philippe's. Philippe's sandwiches in Los Angeles, I'd highly recommend it.
Absolutely. We call it slow chicken. It's in Burbank. It's a peri-peri chicken. It's just because it takes forever to get your sandwich, so we call it slow chicken.
But it's got a dip.
Oh, my God. It's got the sauce. You pour it in, and then you make it the dip, and you're like, this is great. This is what a sandwich is supposed to be right here.
Yeah.
This is
And it's very much like it follows like her story, and Jack is like the one who's like kind of mentoring her through this whole thing, and then she finally decides to like go for it, and she is really trying to have it all. But it's so funny. And it, to me, it was just like, I connected to it.
Yeah, it's a great woman's story. Like, I can have it all.
I can have it all. I'm going to do my job and then also have a relationship. And then, and then finish her sandwich.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one has like, that one actually like, I'm glad that yours is the last in this line, because that one actually, female-wise, is like a big thing. Like, I was just talking with some other women lately that were like, we had like this meeting because we're going to do this panel, and we were talking about how, like, it really is a thing where it's like, I had a breakup where it literally came up that
your career
was too much for him.
Like, that my career was really taking away from, and I was like,
boo.
Yeah, it's, you know, whatever. I mean, and I'm sure it goes both ways, but it's definitely, like, the pressure of, like, certain things bubble up for women where you're like, well, I gotta think about my marriage and a kid. And you know.
She's like, I can have it all.
Yeah.
And my sandwich, too.
That's something that is, I think, like, secretly great about the show, is that for years, like, decades, it feels like, and especially in the last 10 or 15 years, there's been a lot of like, Sheryl Sandberg, how could she have kids and run Facebook?
Right.
And like, and that's been a question that
nannies.
Like, yeah, like that we that we ask and we don't really have an answer to, and it's kind of a really stupid question at the same time. But like, it's this weird question that this show actually really tackles, is like, you single working woman, like, how can you have kids and have a relationship? And that's something that is something that 30 Rock really tackles.
And, and at the end, I really loved that when she and Chris end up adopting, she realizes she doesn't want to be an at-home mom. And he actually is like, and I also want to be an at-home dad. Like, I have this weird pressure of, like, feeling like I have to go into the workforce. And she's like, I love being in the workforce. And so they switched those roles. And it's like
a good answer.
It was
like,
great.
It's really, I love exploring that, because that's actually what the focus of this panel that we're going to do is going to be about, is about like all of that in Hollywood and how it's like the pressure on dudes to continue, and that, and then for women to always be there for their kids, but then to be looked down on for
being there
for the kids. Like, you can't win.
Yeah.
So it's like, like Amy Poehler, like, she had an interview a couple years ago or something. She mentioned that she's like, went in for a meeting, and this is like after Amy Poehler has had Parks and Rec and stuff, and she had a meeting too. And the guy was like, asked about where her kids were. And she's like, where are your kids? Like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, why would you ask Amy Poehler that? Like, I feel like they're not in the car with the windows rolled up.
Don't worry. Like, she's got it covered. Yeah, I feel
like, it's okay. It's so, I think it's like, that's a Sandwich Day is a good one that starts like, and I think that was one of the earlier ones that started, I mean, I know, what season was that for?
Floyd, it was Floyd, so it was like definitely.
It was season two.
Season two.
So it was like starting to focus in on that, and it kind of becomes a thing that keeps going throughout the course of it.
And really, I think that, that's like a huge point in her storyline, which at the end, like literally the last day, is just her being like, I can have it all.
Yeah, it's cool.
So that's why I'm like, this one to me embodies the series in a great way.
Yeah, nice.
All right.
I love Sandwich Day.
And we just love sandwiches.
Everybody
here.
Loves sandwiches. Okay, we're going to get sandwiches.
It's been decided Sandwich Day is the best episode of 30 Rock.
Yes.
Don't add us. But you can add us on Twitter at Best Episode Pod. Twitter, on the Facebook, on the Instagram.
And if you want to send sandwiches at us, that's also fine.
Yeah.
What's the best sandwich you guys have ever had?
Oh, my God.
I know mine.
You know yours. Tell me yours.
I have, yeah.
I 100% know mine, and I hope it still's there somewhere. I did Boom Chicago in Amsterdam, misleading name, and there was a street market that was near my house, and there was this guy, his name was like Boer Jan, which means Farmer John, and he like literally came in from the outskirts, and he like made these killer sandwiches with like Dutch cheese, and like there's chicken ones, and there's hammer, and there was whatever. Man, I got those things like all the time, and I like dream about those sandwiches.
That's a good
best damn sandwiches ever. Yeah, that's my
no. The mine is it's a deli in Astoria, New York, called Sal, Chris, and Charlie's. in Queens, take the N train up to probably Ditmars, like probably the last stop, and go to Sal Chris and Charlie's Deli. You're going to have the best sandwich in New York. It even says it on the sign, the best sandwich in New York, and they're not wrong.
I got to bookmark this.
Guys, I don't have a favorite. I'm still searching for my... Herman. Listen.
Hot, and you chose sandwich day?
I chose sandwich day. Listen, I don't have a favorite because I'm looking for my sandwich, okay?
Wow. Wow.
One day your sandwich will come.
Yeah, one day.
I want to have
open
it
your
all.
Heart.
I want to have it all.
Haley, where can we find you online if you want
to
share that
tell
information?
Oh, cool. At Haley Mancini. That's HaleyMancini.
All right. And you can find me at Carmesan Cheeses on Twitter. Or just, you can probably, if you message, if you at us at Best Episode Pod, you can also talk to us that way.
Yeah, I'm at Brett Rader. Follow us, like us, rate us. That's helpful on the Apple Podcast, Stitcher,
yes,
Google
please.
Play. Or on Spotify, I believe. We're coming up on Spotify very shortly. And we'll be back next week to talk about Arrested Development. There's always money in the banana stand.
Oh, yes.
Banana stand.
Oh, so good.
Thank you so much for coming.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you.
It was fun.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.